Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Let's stand at our feet for the reading of God's Word this morning. How precious it is. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let's read that one more time. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't know what's about to happen, but I feel you in this place. Lord, somebody is under great bondage this morning. They need to come. They need to give it to you, Lord. They need to surrender all to you on this Labor Day weekend. Lord, I thank you that you give your Son. And Lord, He labored, Lord, to give His life that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, how we thank you today. Speak to the hearts of your people. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Thinking about Labor Day, you know, there's a few things that you need to know about this day that I didn't even know. I'll tell you one thing about history that I didn't even know when it's talking about Labor Day, that in 1882, Peter McGuire, he headed up the Carpenters Guild of America. And he told them they needed to proclaim a day that would honor men and women that labor in this country, and it would honor them one day for all the work that they do. So Mr. McGuire encouraged them to set forth a day and call it Labor Day. And so they agreed in 1882 to make a day, the first Monday of September, to be Labor Day. I never knew that was done that way. And since that time, America has celebrated the first Monday in September to be Labor Day, to where we could all rest on that day and reflect upon all the things that we've done, the work that we do, and how good that God has blessed us in our lives. We need to not take for granted how God has blessed us to labor amongst the people of this world and to be a great representative. So today I got to thinking about this message. I need to preach on a labor of love. A labor of love. That's what we need to talk about this morning. I don't know what your Christian life's like. It may seem like it to you that it's more of a struggle than it is a blessing. But it ought to be a labor of love to you. If God has blessed you to work in this world and you're able to work, you ought to work. You know, a man that won't work and provide for his family, the Bible says, is worse than an infidel. And I'm telling you this morning, I don't want to be like that. I've always enjoyed working. I've always enjoyed getting out, taking care of my family and loving them and honoring them by trying to earn money so they can have things and I can have things and we can have a place to live and a car to drive and good clothes to wear. Every man wants that in his life. I remember being 18 years old when I got married. The first thing I wanted to do was go buy me a home and have me a car and have me a good job. All these things I wanted so I could build a home with me and my wife. I desired that as a young man. And I would say every man in here has been the same way. You have desired that in your life. But we got to be a good laborer. If we're a child of God, we must be a good laborer before this world. The Bible says over in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Your good works. Okay? They got to see what you're doing. Over in Ephesians 6:5, the Bible says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and in singleness of heart unto Christ. You mean I'm supposed to obey these people that I work for? Absolutely. There's another portion of Scripture that talks about how we treat those that we labor under is how we treat the Lord. Do y'all realize that? Well, you don't understand what a grouch I work for. It doesn't matter. You need to show them the love of Christ. I'm not pleased with everything my boss comes up with. I'm going to tell you right now. It doesn't make me happy. When I'm headed home at 4:30 of the evening, 5 o'clock of the evening, and I have been all over the Tri-Cities, all over Norton, all over these all these places round about, he says, I need you to go to Roanoke, Virginia right now. I'm not too happy about that. I'm thinking about the chicken and the mashed potatoes that she's cooking on the stove. I'm starved. I want to go home and eat. I want to go home and get my easy chair. I'm not too happy about going to Roanoke. But you know what we do? We do what they've asked us to do. We turn around, we go to Roanoke because we've been commanded by the master that we work for to go. This is what being a good laborer is all about. Colossians 3:22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. And if you ain't getting these scriptures, you can go back and listen to it on podcasts and you can write it all down then. But you need to go back and look at these scriptures. This is a commandment to you and I as believers of how to be good laborers before the world so they will see our good works and glorify Him. You ever been on the job and you hear people say, man, he's always late for work. I can't get him to work. He'll work right up to break time. He takes a break 30 minutes before he takes a break to take a break. He come back and work another 20 minutes and then take a 45-minute to take a 30-minute lunch break. And it goes like this all day long. I hope that you don't have a report like that. I hope that you have a good report. What's getting quiet in here this morning? Everybody starting to look like, whoa, he's getting on some stuff here now. We need to be good laborers amongst the people that we work for. Not only a good laborer, but we need to be a submissive laborer, ready to submit and humbly doing it. That's what means submissive means. You should be glad to do it. I'm not saying you have to be happy to do it, but you need to go ahead and get it done. That's what you've been hired to do. That's what you're being paid to do. Go ahead and get it done. Do it the best that you can do it and get it done so you can go on home. That's what we need to do to represent Christ. You mean in the workforce we need to be this way? Yes, we need to be this way. If you work for yourself, I thought this, somebody said one time, boy, it must be nice working for yourself. I did for 20 years. And they said, boy, it must be nice. You just get up when you want to, go to work when you want to, leave when you want to. You ain't got nobody to answer to. I don't know what dream world you're in, but it ain't like the one I'm in. Because the 20 years I worked for myself, I always worked for somebody. I always had to answer to them. I always had to be on time. I always had to be there to open the doors or see somebody, make sure things was ready, and get them to come in. I had to have a smile on when I didn't feel like smiling. When my life was upside down, I had to go in and smile anyhow. Why? Because I'm representing Christ in my life. Can I get a witness? It's hard. It is hard, ain't it? But to be a good laborer, these things have to happen in our life. To be a submissive laborer, these things have to happen in our life. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that have much account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable for you. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the pastors. You need to honor your pastors. You need to love your pastor. You need to pray for your pastor. If your pastor is trying to walk with God, he's seeking God on your behalf, trying to find out what's the best thing for you. And you need to pray for him and help him and hold him up and show him that you want to be a good laborer. You want to be a submissive laborer. You want to honor God by honoring the man of God and helping him. If there's a man preaching the gospel, you ought to try to help him and honor him and pray for him. Can I get a witness this morning? I pray for Brother Greg. He preaches the gospel. He tries to labor for the Lord. He tries to do what's right. I see him in the workplace. He's trying to honor God. Everybody around him's living every way in the world, talking every way in the world. And I can look over Brother Greg. He's just working on his machine. Everybody's huddled up, talking all kinds of stuff, doing all this kind of stuff. And I can look right over and see Brother Greg. And he's honoring God because he's keeping his nose to the grindstone. Now, I'm not saying that you can't conversate with people and do all that, but there's a point in your life you've got to be a submissive laborer. You've got to try to show the love of Christ by showing the people you work for you are going to do the job that they hired you to do and to be a good laborer for the Lord. I want to tell you sinners this morning, Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." You that are here that's lost without God, He's give you a gift this morning that you need, that you can receive this morning, and you can grow on that gift. And you become a part of the labor force. Amen? We have a labor force here at Vickers Chapel. We just don't come in here and sit down and worship. But there's a labor force going on all week long. What are you talking about? The pastor's working back and forth with the deacons. And when we hear a need that's going on in this church, we jump on it right away. If we find out somebody's in need in the community, we try to reach out to them as much as we can. Do we meet every need that happens in the church? No, we don't meet every need. Yes, we miss out on some of it. We're trying to do the best that we can do to honor the Lord and lift Him up and meet the needs of the people. But sometimes they slip through the cracks. God knows our heart. God knows our need. But we must be a good laborer if God is going to meet the needs in our life and meet the needs of the people. The Bible also says in Ephesians 2:9 that we are saved by grace. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. I've heard people, "I'm a good moral person. I do good. I try to help people. I'm good to people on the job. I don't curse. I don't do all these things. I try to be good to people." Surely God would look at that and look over me and it would be okay. I'm telling you, it's not by works, lest any man should boast, but it's a gift of God. You have to accept this gift into your life. It's a free gift. It won't cost you nothing. If somebody tells you you've got to pay for salvation, they've lied to you. If they tell you you've got to wear a suit to come to church, they've lied to you. If you've got to do a certain thing to live for Christ and honor Him, they've lied to you. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I'll tell you what, if you'll submit your life to Him and be the laborer that you're supposed to be, God will teach you what you're supposed to do, teach you how to walk, how to talk, how to act, how to dress, how to live, and how to honor your family. God will teach you that if you'll love Him and serve Him in your life. As we were there at the singing yesterday and we were preaching to those people and every kind of denominations that you can think of was there, the Lord spoke to me and I never said nothing about it. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God spoke to me this morning and told me that it had fallen upon deaf ears. And as quick as the Holy Spirit had given it, it had come right back to me. But you know what God said? Even though I know it was falling upon deaf ears at times, there was still a few here and there that was receiving it. And that's what we got to do as good laborers. We go out and we preach the gospel. Even though there's 10 that won't listen, there's one that will. Even though there's 100 won't listen, there's 50 that will. You got to keep on going. You got to keep on working. You got to keep on telling. You got to keep on preaching. Because if we went on to how people done and how they're uninterested in the Word of God, we'd never do nothing for God. And you wouldn't either. Because we like to be, for people to be interactive. We want them to receive it. You know, Brother David, when you go out and do your job and you're teaching people respiratory and all these different things that you do in the medical field and you want them to listen, you want them to learn because you know one day they may need it, right? And I'm telling you this morning, one day you're going to need this. One day we're going to stand before a holy God and we're going to give an account of ourselves of every deed that's been done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're going to give an account of it. And I want Him to look at me and say, "You've been faithful just over a few things. Now come on in. I'm going to make you a ruler over many." That's going to be good words when we hear that one day after a while. I don't want to hear, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity." I never knew you. Even in judgment, the word work is going to be there. Why? Because he's going to look at that. There's only going to be one work that's going to matter when we stand before God. And that's work when he dealt with your heart and you got up and came to an old-fashioned altar. That's the only work that he's looking for. It won't matter about the good deeds you've done. It won't matter how much money you give this church. It won't matter how much you've built up in life. All it'll matter is that there was a moment of time, a very little moment, when he spoke to your heart and you surrendered to him and let him do that work in your life that only he can do. Can you recall that time? I'll ask everybody on this side. Can you recall a time when God did a work like that in your heart? How about this side? Can you remember a time when God did a work like that in your life? You should say, yes, I remember. Yes, I remember. That ought to make you feel good. That one day when you stand before God, he's going to bring it back to your memory and say, remember when? I came by, knocked on the door, and there wasn't no doorknob on the outside, and you got the hold of the one on the inside and said, yes, Lord, come in. That's the work that he's looking for. That's the submissive laborer that he's looking for. He's looking for those that surrendered their life to him. Now, I've not been a good Christian. I'm not much of anything, but I've tried to honor his name. I've tried to love him. I've tried to seek him first, and I've tried to, in my labor of my life, to honor his holy name. You will not do it all right. You can't get your life right. You may say, I'm trying to quit my cussing. I'm trying to quit my drinking. I'm trying to quit all these things that I do in life that's drawn me away from the presence of God. I'm trying to get it all out of my life before I get saved. You'll never be good enough to ever get saved. The only good is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and knocks on your heart. That's when he sees you just as you are, just as I am, a sinner lost without God. Lord, take me in my dirty rags, in my filthy sin. God, see me for who I am and save me like I am. And he'll move right into your life just like that. And that's how you be a submissive laborer. I'm talking about a labor of love, that we need to give our hearts and our life to him. I would hope that you're ready today. I've got so much more with this message, but God just took me a completely different direction. He's looking for submission out of you. Every one of you all, this week, he's going to look for that out of you. And you that are here that's lost right now, he's going to look for that out of you in just the next few minutes. And there's a record being kept in heaven right now. There's a record book being kept right this very moment of this very message. Did y'all miss that where I read that about the pastor here? And I told you how the pastor, it's his obligation to preach the word to you. It's your obligation to be submissive to him. Why? Because I'm under an account for you. I'm under every word that I say to you. One day after a while, I'm going to stand before God, and God's going to say, I put it in your mouth. Why didn't you say it? Why didn't you tell them? And I'll have to stand there and give an account for every message that I preach. You might not like every one of them. They may not be squeezed and seasoned the way you think they ought to be, but I'm telling you one thing right now. I'm going to follow the presence of God. I'm going to give exactly what comes into my heart to give you today. And he's telling you, you need to submit to him before it's too late. Do y'all realize there's people in this church right now dying and going to a devil's hell? If the Lord was to call for the church right this moment, there's folks sitting in this church right now will not go to this place called heaven. There'll be one of those that's left behind. We'll be out of here just like that. And they'll look around and they're gone. Where'd they go? It'll be that call. When he calls, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be called up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's going to happen. That could happen today. Brother, I'm telling you, that could happen today. That could happen in the next 2 minutes. Brother James, I believe that's going to happen. If I don't believe that's going to happen, there ain't a word in that book true right now. But I believe it's going to happen. I believe exactly what the Word of God says. He's never led me astray one time. And he said, people in this church need to be submissive to him. I'm talking to you that are lost. You need to be born again. I don't want to see you die and go to hell one day. I don't want you screaming from the pits of hell going, he never told me, I didn't know. But I want you to, if you end up there, you won't be able to say the preacher didn't tell me. God didn't deal with me, because he's dealing with you this morning. Christians, we need to submit to God and we need to surrender our lives to God. And on this Labor Day, we need to say, yes, Lord, I want to labor for you. I want to give it to you. I want you to have my whole life. I see you at work in other people's lives in the church, and I want the same thing for my life. It can happen that way this morning. As the piano player comes this morning, I want to encourage you that you need to consider your life right now. There's a record being kept in heaven right now. And he's looking for some. He's looking for a few good men and women that'll submit to his cause and be good laborers for him and accept this labor of love as every head is bowed and every eye closed.